This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Exactly a week after the shocking murder of British MP Joe Cox, voters went to the polls to decide whether their nation should remain a member of the European Union or leave. The Britain exit or Brexit vote won, shocking the world and even perhaps shocking the British themselves. Soon after the vote was tallied, Prime Minister David Cameron added to the stunning news by announcing his resignation. The Brexit vote, 52-48%, played out amidst increasing fears of refugees entering the UK and over austerity programs impacting the country. The right-wing UK Independence Party, or UKIP, celebrated the outcome, with party leader Nigel Farage calling it a victory that was won, quote, without a single bullet being fired. We go now to the UK to speak with Bianca Todd. She is the media officer with the group Left Unity. Welcome to the program, Bianca.
Hi, thank you.
So your organization put out a statement saying that you deplore the outcome of the vote, the referendum that essentially was a result of right-wing pressure. Why are you so upset about this?
I guess we need to start from the beginning. And the first thing is, of course, we respect the outcome of the vote. To me, it's really important that we understand that people have made their voices heard. However, what we believe is that for a great deal of people who voted for the exit, their decision was based on lies, was based on non-truths, and they were deceived from the right wing, from the Leave campaign. The NHS is a good example of that. Even this morning, Nigel Farage said, oh, what money was I supposed to put from Europe to the NHS? No, that's never going to happen. So we kind of believe, actually, this whole campaign has been on negative campaigning. And that's never a good way to get people to make a big decision that impacts on every single person.
Yeah, let's actually focus on what Farage said this morning for a minute. Basically, he or his party claimed that there would be hundreds of millions of pounds per week that would be freed up from Britain leaving the EU to fund the National Health Service, your universal healthcare program that you enjoy, that unfortunately in the US we don't have something similar. And the morning after the vote, he just admitted in an interview that he never said such thing, and that the entire Leave campaign, that nobody should have said such a thing because it's simply a mistake. How many people, as far as you know, I mean, how important was this angle in terms of the spectrum of reasons that people voted to leave?
Well, I think it's really significant. I mean, let's be clear, it was on their battle bus. So it wasn't just a mistake and people shouldn't have said it. He said it. It was one of their pledges. And I think, but when people are feeling quite scared and they're feeling that they can't access services, the idea that the NHS will get more money is significant, but the Leave campaign was built on lies. And actually, what we'll see, I think, over the next few weeks is the kind of consequence of the Leave campaign and the untruths as they unfold.
Let's actually talk about this issue of austerity and poverty. How much of the responsibility for the vote does the EU itself bear, and leaders of countries like the UK bear, in kind of pressuring people from the bottom, people who are at the bottom of society, cutting services, and then, you know, ending up with a vote like this? Even if people voted based on a false premise, can you blame them, right?
No, I can't blame them, because every day all they're hearing from the TV, from the newspapers, is that actually our country is overrun, that the services are falling apart, but we can't cope, but we need to get these borders up because it's all going to be in trouble. So quite frankly, one of the difficulties is that where do people get results? And that starts right from the beginning. One of the first things the Conservative government was people's EMA, their access to education. So working class families could no longer afford to go to education. So it's not a surprise that actually we have a big group of people who didn't get all the facts, because this is a long-term plan of the Conservative government.
And hand in hand with the fear of austerity goes the fear of outsiders coming in. On our program, we had spoken earlier with journalist Liam O'Hare, who basically said that this entire referendum was based on the fear of Syrian refugees, refugees from Middle Eastern countries, where the UK itself has played a part alongside the US in creating the refugee crisis. However, of course, Syrian refugees have not really entered the UK in significant numbers, but UKIP, the party of Nigel Farage, campaigned for the leave vote by playing on the fears of refugees. How important was this aspect to the vote?
I think it's really important because when you have austerity measures, then what goes hand in hand with that is the far right, is Nazism, is fascism, is racism, is discrimination. And so it is really essential, but actually, what they chose to do is to build on all of those fears because when services are cut, they want someone to blame. So I do believe that it is one of the most hateful campaigns I've ever seen, and it has made people feel unsafe in this country today.
Now, one of the interesting things when looking at the vote was that younger voters apparently voted overwhelmingly to remain in the EU. Older voters tended to skew to leave. Well, how do you explain that disparity?
I think that for a lot of young people, they see the opportunity of Europe as a voice of change. They see what's happening with Podemos and Syriza. Just because some of the system is broke doesn't mean that we can't fix it and we can't create a better Europe. For older people, I kind of believe that actually they will remember at a time nostalgically when they felt that it was better. And so I do understand why those two things happen. I think that what we failed to do was to actually engage effectively with people and challenge the negative views that they had around migration and the workplace.
So you think the left could have done better?
Of course, we could have done better. Of course.
What do you make of David Cameron's announcement that he was going to resign? I mean, here in the US, that was almost as shocking as the Brexit vote. Was it such a shock to you in the UK?
I think it was a shock, but I think he didn't really have any other choice but to do that. I think it was probably the most honourable thing to do, but I think for those of us on the left, we never imagined a time when we were hoping that David Cameron would stay. So it was a scary moment when we were all saying, oh no, but now what? I think that for somebody who had campaigned to remain, the fact that he was unsuccessful in that campaign left him with no alternative.
Right. He put a lot of his reputation on this, as did his party. There is now a scramble within the party, I understand, to figure out who's going to replace him and who's going to run instead. Is there a possibility that there will have to be new elections altogether, or is that going too far?
Well, of course, on the left, we'd love there to be a new general election. It's interesting that Nigel Farage has already called for a Brexit government. So he clearly thinks that the new leader should be somebody who was involved in the campaign. So that will be an interesting to see to who that is. Obviously, Theresa May has kept quite neutral in the whole debate. She might be seen as somebody who might be able to bring the Conservative Party together. Personally, I would like to think that when the Conservative Party only has 100,000 to 150,000 members, that we would have a general election because our prime ministers, they should be voted for and not appointed.
I want to go back to Nigel Farage. He had a victory speech that many are criticizing. He said that that victory was won without a single bullet being fired. This coming just a week after the very progressive and young MP Joe Cox was killed, was shot and stabbed. How is his, I mean, is there any sense that he actually was referring to her, or was it just a slip of the tongue, you think?
I don't think that Nigel Farage was probably referring to her. I think he was probably trying to be a little bit clever and excited in the moment. However, he's wrong that actually lots of people are dying in England due to the austerity. So they may not be killing us with guns, but that doesn't mean that people aren't dying. And him and everyone who actually supports the austerity agenda are responsible for that.
So he supports the austerity agenda, but also supports not letting refugees in. How did he manage to convince Britons to vote for a Brexit if many of them voted based on ending austerity?
I don't know whether people did vote to end austerity. I think they voted to escape the EU, and because they'd been led to believe that it was undemocratic. I think that one of the things that UKIP does is it has a lot of money and is therefore able to influence the media and the information that ordinary people get.
Now, Bianca, the slogan...
I think that's a lesson for the left to learn about how we raise our money.
The slogan for the Leave campaign it just reminds me so much of Donald Trump's campaign slogan here in the U.S. You know, his campaign slogan is Make America Great Again. Tell us what the analog of that was in Britain.
I guess what it's like, regain control of our country, make Great Britain great again. And I kind of wonder where they go to eat. Do you mean, are they not eating in our Chinese, French, Turkish restaurants? What are the clothes that they're wearing? What cars are they driving? Do you mean, so I think they're really living in their own little bubble. And if they believe that Britain is better on its own, they're quite mistaken. And of course, we offer solidarity to all Europeans in Britain who currently might feel a little bit unsafe because of today's decision.
Right. So this was the first time that such a vote has actually gone through. And I understand that it's going to take something like 2 years for Britain to formally leave the EU. I'm not really clear, I guess, on what the formal, because it's never happened before, what the formal process is. As far as you know, how does Britain extricate itself out of the EU? Is it, you know, how could that happen in terms of formal aspects? Does it, you know, how does it all work? Passports, borders, tariffs, taxes? I mean, there's very, very complicated systems that have been built up over decades, right?
Yeah, well, this is completely it. We've got 2 years to kind of get into place lots of the legal aspects. We rely on a lot of legal European law. We've got to create our own stuff. There's so much work to be done. We don't know how it's going to look, but what we do know is that the European Union are already speaking to their lawyers to say, actually, 2 years is too long for us. So we want you out before then, because actually this hanging over their necks makes them more unstable. So I don't think that it will be quite as simple as us leading the agenda to how this all moves forward.
So the EU is sort of saying, you want out? Fine, get out as fast as possible. I mean, it's just quite remarkable also given that the European Union functioning as a federation of states had actually, you know, there have been some very strong critiques from the left on how the EU functions. But then, of course, there were the positive aspects of pooling resources, having some sort of political unity. Do the left critiques still hold against the EU? I mean, is there any sort of left silver lining to Britain leaving the EU?
I think one of the important things for this whole referendum was about the amount of people who went out to vote. That was very significant. This wasn't a referendum that got people talking. Our job is to now unpick the lies, dispel the untruths, and get people to understand that actually the austerity agenda, the Tory agenda, the UKIP agenda is actually not the way forward. We're better together, whatever that might look like, and we need to build relationships all across the world, including Europe.
And so does this mean that groups like yourself will fight even harder to form relations with other European left organizations to try to preserve a unity that people were already building up? Because we had seen over the past several years many sort of uprisings in various EU countries against the austerity agenda, you know, what was happening in Greece and Spain, even in Britain, in France now, and a lot of people sort of realizing that they have more similarities than differences.
You're right. I don't think for us in Left Unity, we will be looking to how we make alliances within the UK to build that solidarity. And we will continue to be a good comrade, a good brother and sister, of those around Europe to try and build a better Europe. A better Europe is possible, one that actually enables ordinary people to have good working conditions to ensure that actually all people feel safe in their communities, and that we ensure that refugees and migrants are actually welcome whenever they need to find a home.
And so finally, where's a good place for American audiences to learn more about the sort of Brexit issue? Are there some independent media outlets, online outlets that you can recommend? Because, of course, mainstream coverage can be very skewed.
Yeah, I generally find that the Russian television channels always do some really good stuff. So that's quite good.
RT.
But I would suggest that people look at the local. So choose a local town, look at local reporting. Do you mean, how's it affecting ordinary people? What are ordinary people saying? Do you mean, because when we get beyond the spin, then that's how we'll find what the actual impact of this result today will be.
Well, I'm sure people are going to be sort of finding out over the next weeks and months and possibly years what leaving the EU actually means for ordinary people and also politically. Bianca, I wish you the best of luck. Thank you so much for joining us today.
I think we might need it. Thank you very much. Take care. Be well.
You too. Bianca Todd is a media officer with the group Left Unity, joining us from the UK. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.